With the release of Pixar's Finding Dory, we get into the state of animation movies and whether or not Pixar is the most dominant studio out there. All that next.
Everybody to yet another episode, number 19, of the Real Mentors Podcast, where we normally talk movies, TV, and have a little fun along the way, because otherwise, what's the point? Excited to be here yet again. I think we had a week hiatus, but we got some things going on. We'll talk about that in a second.
Mike Rose had a week hiatus,
and we have another one too. So let me make introductions, because obviously Mike Rose has beat me to the punch, the man beast himself, the head of the girlslife.com studios. Well, we're coming to you live, of course. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Never better.
And of course, as always, our technical producer continues to do a great job for us. Promoting as well. Another thing we're giving kudos for. Of course, Plugosaurus Rex, the Spaniard, Mr. George. How you doing, big guy?
The king of all promotions. That's a new one.
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing good. Excited to be here. Mike, just real quick. Obviously, we're taping. It won't be out. By the time it comes out, I'll be belated. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, thanks, including my own. Mike, happy Father's Day to you. And all that. George.
I'm loaded with kids.
Well, happy Father's Day to you, I guess, in case a kid I don't know about.
I'm not a father. No, I'm not a father.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there you go.
Thank you. I'll remind them. I'll tell them. Yeah. But I'm not a father.
Yeah, okay. Well, make sure you text your dad or call your dad or whatever it is that you
we'll do.
And all that. So I'll have to call mine tomorrow. At least my brother took care of earlier. So. But we're excited to be here. Of course, we are the best in the business, in my opinion.
I think we are
the most diverse movie aficionados, if you will. The most knowledge. And I'll take that Pepsi challenge with any other podcaster who thinks they can take us down. Any kind of trivia challenge against us, I welcome it. So anybody out there, anybody who knows someone's podcasting, who wants to do a little challenge and take on the Real Mentors, by all means, I welcome it. And I dare you guys. Just want to throw it out there. Nothing wrong with a little self-promotion. So we're into it now. Obviously, it's funny because I got into a conversation when I mentioned to you guys earlier that one of her fans was talking to me. I hadn't talked in a while. And she mentioned, she was complaining, how come all we do is talk about superhero movies? And no, that's not entirely
true.
It's not entirely true. We do spend a lot of time on it.
She didn't hear our last episode.
Well, she doesn't consistently hear a show, but she does hear some of the shows. And she's like, I mean, we talk about it because that's the most popular genre right now. Let's be realistic. I mean, that makes the most money. And, you know, and we're nerds, so we're going to get into that kind of stuff. Exactly. It is what it is. So, you know what? We're going to take a little break. We're not going to mention anything superhero related, at least, well, a little bit, but in a different way. So in honor of course, we know Finding Dory coming out this week, which is going to dominate the box office, and it probably should. It's gotten, 95% Rotten Tomatoes, for whatever that's worth. I haven't seen it yet.
I don't give it any.
Yeah, I know, but for whatever it's worth, I'm sure it's good, it's got a lot of positive reviews and all that. Actually, I probably will watch it at some point soon. I'm a huge, huge Pixar fan. So we're going to, we want to change topics here, you know, break the monotony, if you will. So we're going to focus on animated movies. And all that. Again, another huge popular genre. One is, I think it's associated with kids, but I'm going to argue against that wholeheartedly, because I think most animated movies are geared, or the good ones anyway, are geared for both adults and kids.
Correct.
And for me, particularly Pixar, which I always say, they make movies that are kid friendly. They're not movies for kids. There's one or two of them, and we'll get into that actually are for kids, but for the most part, they're really adult themed. Most of them, all of them.
Some of them.
Yeah, I think the majority of them have adult themes.
I think they work in
many levels.
Well, yeah, like if you look at the old Bugs Bunny cartoons, the same kind of thing. There was adult humor in the old Bugs Bunny cartoons, but kid.
Yeah, and that's another thing I wanted to talk about. Yeah, like what you guys mentioned, you know, there's a lot. Like, for example, we talked about Inside Out the other day.
Yeah, we're going
to
do some of that exactly.
Yeah, you know, they tailor to little kids. But if you look deeper, you can see that there's a lot of adult undertone.
They want adults to bring their kids to the movies.
Yeah.
If you, like, there are some. I just watched something today because my niece is visiting, but she had some Barbie crap on Netflix, and I can't, honestly, it's unwatchable. It's terrible.
It's for kids. It's clear, particularly.
Exactly,
kids.
Yeah. But you won't bring your kid to that movie. These movies, they make it enjoyable for the adults as well, so it's not such a task to bring your kids.
Exactly, because most kids, they want to go,
it's genius.
Yeah, they open up big, and those movies usually have more sea legs than other movies where they sustain. Right. They don't have a big drop off on a week. So kids always want to go back. The parents, they got nothing to do is take the kids to the movies. The kids want to go see it 8,000 times, and that's, you know, anybody that's got a kid, they know what I'm talking about. That's just what they want to do. So the parents don't mind. And when you entertain the parent, the movie's it's better, like, it's gonna make a ton more money, obviously.
You can print money.
Exactly, and that's what I think, particularly Pixar has done so well from the get go.
They've had a couple,
you know, they start off like gangbusters. Yeah, about a couple.
Yeah, but very few. Very few.
Yeah, but most of the movies are either good to great for the most part. There are a couple in the middle of the road and all that. Yeah. And like I said, I love Pixar for that reason because I watch those and I'm always entertained every time I watch them. So for you, we'll kind of go around the room. If you're gonna pick one,
and that's another thing. Oh. They still stand the test of time. Like, you can rewatch them.
Of course.
Even if they've been like 10 times. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, like, they hold up.
They hold up. You know, so even if you are, even if you come up late to the genre, they still hold up.
They do. And we'll talk about other, I guess, studios that do animated work.
DreamWorks,
Sony
that
has their own. There's a bunch.
Yeah.
But none of them quite reach the levels I think Pixar does for the most part. The top Pixar movies just dwarf anything else from any of the studios, as far as I'm concerned. But there are some good ones out there, and we'll talk about some of those and all that. So again, they're the most innovative, the most creative. They always seem to go outside the box and give these topics where you don't really think about, whether it be something like toys, which is just a great idea, or even, you know.
You mean Toy Story?
Toy Story.
Toy
apologies, that's a horror movie. Or like, you know, Inside Out, which we briefly touched base last week and today. Just like great themes and topics that you don't think about, and they kind of bring to you and can conceptualize it on screen. It comes out really great.
Right.
So Mike, for you, I think you mentioned earlier in a pre-production meeting, let's start with you as far as what your top Pixar movie is.
Incredibles, of course.
Yeah, that's a good one.
A perfect combination of like a James Bond movie, a superhero movie. It's a perfect kid boy movie, you know, for a boy. I think that it's there's just so many things about it that are perfect. The characters are perfect. I thought, even I'm not a big fan of using celebrity voices. I think it's useless. I don't think that it brings any star power to the movie at all. But I felt like they used the right voices for that.
Craig T. Nelson, because Coach, he's awesome in that, and that's
Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson, right. Frozone, is it Frozone? Right. Yeah,
and what's her name from
Elastigirl?
Yeah.
Oh man, I forget her name.
No, she was in the last Captain America movie too.
Holly Hunter. Sorry, we gotta avoid superhero talk. I'm sorry,
right.
But yeah, she was in that, of course. But Megan, that's a great example of what Pixar giving up those themes, because you watch them way, and it's bare essence. It's a superhero movie. What it was like the original Fantastic Four.
But you know what? Here's where I'm saying that a superhero movie works on a lot of levels, because the story is great.
Yes.
The story is great. It's the IP has nothing to do with the story. The IP is a brand new IP. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say that it's all about the story. Nobody knows who Mr. Incredible is.
Exactly. Or Frozone or Elastigirl or whatever.
Right. They created a new thing.
Yes. And it came out so good. And then if you look at the movie's about family. But if you pick it apart, you got the...
It's got like a James Bond thing.
It does.
They have Jason Lee. Jason Lee, he plays Syndrome.
Syndrome, exactly.
You know, the Kevin Smith movie.
But again, like I said, I think that they effectively use celebrities. Although, like I said, I think that there's a lot more talented voice actors out there that aren't celebrities. And I think that sometimes movies lean on celebrities as a crutch. And, you know, maybe not Toy Story as much, but even though there's a bunch of celebrities in that movie too.
Yeah, you got you even have Tom Hanks, you have Tim Allen, you have a lot.
A better quality product if you bring in voice actors that have a lot of.
Like I said, because
Incredibles didn't have like huge names, quote unquote, but not superstars like Tom Hanks or Tim Allen at the time, who was huge.
Samuel L. Jackson was pretty big.
But he was not the main character.
I mean, you got Craig T. Nelson, Holly Hunter,
but they weren't huge stars. They were known commodities, but they're not huge stars.
They probably didn't make millions of dollars.
Exactly. What's good about them is that you look at them way and say you got a guy in a midlife crisis, which is why we can all relate to him. At least now we can relate to him in our 40s. Relate to them, what he's going through, the thing about the family. That's what it's about. And it's so sort of what they did, because they had like the father be the strong role. So he's Mr. Incredible. You have Elastigirl, the mom, who's always trying to flex. She's most flexible and trying to keep everyone together and reaching out for the family. So it kind of made sense. You have Dash, who's that young kid running around. Made sense. The girl who's going through that, you know, obviously the teenage angst.
She's trying to figure out her powers.
So she's very shy. She turns invisible. And then the baby who is too young. Yeah, who doesn't know what the hell he is yet. He's everything. Yeah, Jack. He's everything. Jack. So he doesn't know what he is yet. So so it's just very sort of how they do that. And it makes, because we relate to that. We've been the guy who doesn't like what he's doing in life. It's so relatable, which makes it great.
That's my message to Marvel, is to do a story that people are gonna, they're already familiar with the characters. Put a good story in there and inject your IP into the story, but make the story the forefront, not the
right. I think that's what Pixar
does exceptionally well in a lot of cases,
and they still come up with new IPs.
Oh, of course.
It's
all new.
Even with Brave and stuff like that, they come up with like new, like they change with the times.
George, what's your favorite Pixar?
I mean, you know, like I said, The Incredibles is a good one, but I've always had WALL-E.
Okay, I love WALL-E.
You know, it's even with that kind of film that for the first like 40 minutes, there is no spoken dialogue.
Yes.
You know, and 40 minutes, you know, to try to keep somebody's attention, you know, like,
especially kids,
yeah. You know, like, and you're trying to teach
them.
Adults,
really, both.
Both. And you're trying to teach them about the environment and how important it is and how, you know, all that, how you got to protect what it is that you're living in, you know, like, I thought the movie was great.
And adult themes.
And it has adult themes.
It was a two level.
Exactly. Because you have a love story between two robots, for Christ's sake. We had no business liking, or they didn't say a word, but we love it.
And it's how they are trying to find, you know, like the last kind of, you know, thing on Earth, you know, for me.
That was great. I love WALL-E. For a while, that was one of my favorites.
The other one was Ratatouille. So it was WALL-E, Ratatouille, because it had a good message about, not only did WALL-E have that message about, overlooking the environment, but the Ratatouille had anybody can cook, you know, like if you're, no limitations. I'm not the best chef in the world, but, you know, like I said, you know, it kind of, you can cook if you really want.
But it speaks to anything. You can do whatever you want. Right. You're around, whatever. Yeah, it makes no difference, you know.
That's what's so great about that movie. That's why I think that it's one of those. Also, the characters.
It's one of the more underrated of Pixar flicks, too.
Linguini.
That was awesome. No one talks about the movie that much, but that's underrated. But that's one kind of flew under the radar.
It's one of the better ones.
But it's a great movie.
Even, like, the villain in that movie was great. It's just, like, everything was perfect. I thought it was a very
really, it's so enjoyable. Yeah. It's hard not to like them. It really is. And I don't know why it's not talked about as much as some of the other ones. And there's so many good ones. I guess something gets lost in the shuffle.
Even WALL-E gets lost in the shuffle.
I think it's flashy. I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it doesn't stick out as made like a WALL-E does, because a futuristic feel or the incredible superhero kind of thing doesn't stand out much. For me, and I'll put all three into one because, you know, I know I'm kind of cheating here, but it's Toy Stories 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
They're great. But again, my issue with phenomenal. Toy Story is, well, it's kind of the perfect meld of IPs and a great story.
Yeah.
And it's kind of turns the whole IP thing on its side, because they're like, oh, you get G.I. Joe's in there, you got
that's what it was, like, some of them
head, oh, you of course have all these
and the Barbies
and some of them play to that nostalgia, like for the older, you know, kids, like, you know, I remember having the G.I. Joe's, or I remember having the, you know, all these toys.
I think as kids, I think Toy Story hit home so much for many people that we all went through there. We all had the toys and went to the point where.
Sad thing is, I don't think kids have those kind of toys.
No, they don't.
I don't think so anymore. It's kind of sad. But we grew up, we had G.I. Joe's. As we get a new toy, we put the other one aside. We've always done that. Yeah, and then we go to college. I mean, after college, I saved all my stuff and I put them away somewhere. And my mom threw a bunch of crap away. I was pissed off when I came back one day. Not that I ever played with it, but you have that attachment to them because that's part of your childhood. And the Toy Story did so well. And it was such a great progression between 1, 2, and 3, and that's how the story progressed, and the way it ended I thought was perfect. I think it was the only trilogy. Yeah.
I thought the third one was the best of all.
Oh, agreed. And that's the only trilogy I can think of that the third movie was actually the best one. That's never happened before, which is, I think, I could argue this is, and I'm going to hate it for this, the pie, technically speaking, from a story standpoint, the best trilogy we've ever had in any genre, including Star Wars. But I don't think, I saw Star Wars the best one. Star Wars the best one. I get it. But I could argue Toy Story.
I don't think any of the Star Wars trilogies are anywhere close to that.
That's what I'm saying.
I would say the original, maybe like 4, 5, and 6.
No, I mean, not love Star Wars. And I still put,
no, no, it, even the original, yeah. There's a lot of problems with the last
movie. I'm talking about the progression. Exactly. And they're talking about a movie where all three movies are great. Yeah. And the third one,
I think the only one that's close to that, honestly, is the Dark Knight trilogy. The Nolan Dark Knight trilogy.
Which I think is of the top two or three. But Toy Story is the only, part three, you never see part three really be great.
The Bourne trilogy is pretty good.
It was good, but it's not up to that level.
No, it's not.
And part three wasn't as good as... And we never seen a part three be better than any of the ones.
And it's funny,
when we're watching X-Men, the third part's always the worst one.
Always.
And it happened to me in a conference as well. Yeah. But I mean, it's just so good. Oh my God, I just love those movies. And what Pixar does so well is that they tug at those heartstrings in almost every movie. And it's hard for, grown-ups who like... hold back those tears. They do that so well, playing that emotion. Well, most animated movies just are fun and all that. They don't hit home like Inside Out was when we talked about last week. But man, that shit hits home.
It does.
It's like
up.
And that's another one. See, that's the thing though. Like when you think Pixar, you always think of Toy Story. You always think Up, Wall-E, and Ratatouille. Those are the underrated ones.
Talking about Up. I tell you, Up probably had one of the greatest intros in cinema history.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that one pulled at the heartstrings.
If you don't walk out of like just tearing out, you're just not human. You're just not. It's impossible.
Normally, you end up getting in. If you look at the way those stories progress, it's usually around the 3/4 point that you get that kind of that payoff, that that tear at your heartstrings payoff, and then everybody walks out happy. This movie started out, and in the second quarter. You got this really heartbreaking friggin' story about him and his wife, to me that was like genius to put it there, because then you had the villain show up in the third quarter, so it was a weird.
It was the way they set it different up, structure,
yeah, right. Yeah.
They hit a home run with that, and that intro is just
it's amazing. Really
it really is a great movie. I don't think the ending surpassed those first 10 minutes, because you start off that good, it's hard to maintain that. But it's still a great movie.
I think that they have misstepped a couple times. Is on movies like The Good Dinosaur, which I guess
was okay, and that was more for kids, and that's what
that when they pander directly to kids, I think they falter.
Exactly,
and I think that,
and that's what they normally don't do.
Like same Cars 2. Yeah, because even Cars 2, and which they announced a Cars 3, by
unfortunately,
the way.
Yeah, but it was and the first Cars was just okay.
Airplane one was
that wasn't Pixar. No, Planes wasn't Pixar.
I thought that was
that's Disney. If I'm not mistaken, George, looked that up for us.
Really?
I think
so
that's Disney.
But
it's not Pixar Studios.
It's not Pixar Studios. Yeah. I don't see Disney it here on the list.
Was that when they were doing their back and forth?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see it here on the list. Like, I have a list of releases, and it's not here.
I guarantee you, Planes is not there.
Planes is not associated with Pixar.
But they've misfired with Car. I think
Bolt was a Pixar movie, though.
Which one?
Bolt?
No.
No. That was another Disney movie. That was a Disney movie, though.
Disney movie, I believe, but it wasn't a Pixar.
I'm looking at. That's one thing that we were talking about. How Pixar is the standard. And then DreamWorks is like struggling to catch up, because even when they
DreamWorks has done a couple of decent ones.
Well, I mean, they did How to Train Your Dragon,
which is really good. I liked both parts are actually very good, and they're very good movies. And people, if you haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon, I highly recommend that. Shrek and Shrek 2 were great.
You got the Kung Fu Panda.
Shrek 3 was terrible.
It was like 3 and 4 were terrible.
The Kung Fu Panda movies.
Yeah, exactly.
But
you're right, Kung Fu Panda, which I really like. I think that the second one's okay. The third
second one's pretty good, but the first one
was actually very good,
and those are good animated movies they're just not the same level, but they're great.
They've had more misses. I think DreamWorks has had more misses than Pixar,
because Pixar just missed really on Cars 2. Monsters U was okay.
I thought it was okay.
They didn't have anything wrong with that. I love the first Monsters Inc.
was very good.
That's a great concept. They hold the monsters in the closet, and just come up with these ideas are like, okay, it's so simple, but it makes so much sense, and they're brilliant with that. How they, you know, again, Mike conceptualize it. Oh my god, yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. John Goodman in the voice, and Billy Crystal.
Because I mean, they even, you know, a lot of people, you know, always have the boogeyman when you're young. Course, you know, like, so nightmares. You know, like,
which is why parents can relate to, because we've been there as you know, as kids, and the kids
especially,
are going through,
you know,
it now.
With Father's Day and all these things that are coming out. You know, like, do you remember?
Which is why I think for Father's Day, I think Nemo is probably the most
Finding Nemo.
Yeah, because obviously that's with the dad and his son, which makes.
We're going to talk about that, which is part
of the most beautiful looking films we've seen as far as pictures.
And that's why we were talking about, we're going into all this introduction, because with Finding Dory coming out, a lot of people are worried that it gets all this 95%, but you're worried about that they might recycle some old jokes, pull from Finding Nemo, you know,
from what I hear, it doesn't follow some of the same beats. It doesn't follow some of the same beats as Nemo, from what I understand, but they're liking it, they're just not loving it. Like, it's a good solid movie, like, you know, they're like a Monsters, maybe a little better Monsters University, which it's good, but it's not up there with the original. Nemo is a great movie, and it's not one of my favorites, but I know it's great and I like it.
Pixar's in its level, in its best, when they're creating something new that nobody's ever heard of. And I think when you start to do the sequel thing, you end up having to be real careful about
what they haven't done as well, like, with the exception of the Toy Stories, of course. They haven't done well with Monsters, right? Monsters University. Cars 2 was a disaster. And Finding Dory, I'm sure it's a good movie. It's just not, you know, it's not an instant classic.
The thing,
you know,
had to go after Cars 2. They had to get after it with Cars 2 because they made a ton of money.
Of course,
on Cars,
it wasn't. It was that was up to that point the worst one until Cars 2 came out.
They made a lot of
marketing.
Money
in
the marketing.
But they sold like toys. Like, so I don't blame them for making it.
They had a bunch of like a Larry the Cable Guy thing. That guy was huge when that movie.
I don't blame, because they sold billions of dollars in just merchandise and toys. So I get it. They just could have made a better movie. And I think Brave is the other kind of missed up, where I like the idea of taking that heroine, put it on the forefront, which you don't see in these movies.
Right.
It just was,
I didn't think the storyline was there.
Exactly. It didn't have the emotional punch which Pixar is known to give you.
Frozen,
and,
I feel the same way about.
Well, Frozen, that was a Disney
Frozen,
one. That was
a huge movie for them, but I didn't think it was.
No, but again, that was more geared for kids, you know. And sometimes those movies do well, but as for adults, you're like, okay, well, we tolerate it because our kids like it.
If you look back at like a similar movie, I guess it would be Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
that movie's
great movie,
awesome. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not a Pixar movie, of course.
No, but it's great.
But see, Disney's Lion had King, you know, Frozen, The Lion King, The Little Mermaid.
Well,
recently,
I
want to
kind of just focus on the whole obviously Toy Story was, you know, the trendsetter. Like, it was the first CG, full CG movie, and then from there it took off, and that's the standard.
Wreck-It Ralph,
Big Hero 6. There are some good movies out there. Big Hero 6 is really cool.
Is Big Hero 6 a Pixar movie?
No, it's a Disney.
It's a Disney animation movie.
But that's a really,
I've never seen it.
That's really good.
Oh, you should watch it.
It's good.
It's really good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
The message in that is actually very cool.
That's a really good movie. And Wreck-It Ralph's another one, which is a lot of fun. For those who play video games, I just hit home. And but again, all the Pixar's not the only one. They are good animated movies out there.
See, they even went with The Princess Frog and The Princess and the Frog. Remember that?
That was one of the last few hand-drawn animation we've seen in a while, if memory serves. But which I heard was, I never saw it, but I heard it's pretty good.
It was interesting. It's very New Orleans kind of. So yeah. It uses
I think they're forcing a princess of color, and
they tried to put the jazz forced.
I think if you can come up with a genuine heroine or hero, it'll come out. You just have to do it. Don't force it.
That's what they're trying to do.
I heard it's okay, and I didn't see it, so I couldn't
remember
tell you
the Lilo and Stitch. Well, with the Hawaiian,
that was way
thing.
Back. Yeah.
Well, now,
that
they
was
were trying,
a really good movie.
Well, they were having cool. one with The Rock now.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, which looks
the Rock. They he's doing one where I forget what
it's
the
in
title.
Hawaii or
I think
something.
It's called Surf's Up. It's
Pixar. Something else. I forget what it is, but yeah, I think Pixar. As far as what's coming up, I got to see what's coming for Pixar. I know they got finally The Incredibles 2 coming out in 2019, because that was begging for a sequel like you wouldn't believe.
The other thing about Pixar, you know, that's really good is the shorts. I don't know.
Good point, Mike. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the shorts are awesome. Yeah, I love. Yeah, they're all great.
Moana.
Well, that's the one. But yeah, they all, but the Pixar, there's a collection. You can buy them Blu-ray of all the shorts because they're funny as hell, man. They're really good. They're super cute. Again, they appeal to both adults and all that.
They're very European in the way they come off. In
some
the
are.
Shorts. A lot of
yeah,
them
some are.
And some of the shorts, they have, I think they have been expanded. Or, you know, some people actually like the short more than the movie.
I love them. The shorts are great. And yeah, not all of them hit, but they're all
well,
pretty
the
good.
The Lamp is one that got a short that was interesting. There was that.
Oh, that's right. The original. Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but there was like an Italian one where there was like a, they were out pulling the star, the moon back or something.
Oh, I vaguely remember that. It was really I know the good. Old guy who plays chess. I'm always kind of stuck out of my head, which is kind of cool. Yeah. And the one with the rabbit or something and the clouds bouncing, whatever it was, that was kind of funny.
I just like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of, sometimes they do that short to kind of test the market. To see if people like it so that they can expand it to
expand
a movie.
It, but it's something that they do. I think a lot of animators who probably, it's a good way to get them independent projects to get animators going and all that because they have a huge production
animation
company.
Department. Yeah.
Yeah. And their animation is top notch. I mean, that's
you want to be there.
I mean, it's beautiful to look at. And then he's on a, if you got a 4K and you see a movie Blu-ray on it, looks ridiculous. I mean, that's what Pixar does. And that's what is so great. So kudos to them and all that. I know this year we've had a few animated besides Dory. There's been Zootopia, which is a good movie.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I like a lot.
Good
so, yeah, good
not
movie.
Pixar,
that, no, that Pixar. They did very
and,
well.
Zootopia even has a good message too.
Yeah, very good.
That have, regardless yeah. of what you are, you can. You
no,
can
it's
be anything.
So, yeah, I agree. That's one where like it was very.
You can reach your dreams. Pixar. Yeah, you
I
can reach your dreams.
Are trying to copy, which is fine. You know, it's a copycat league, as they say. They don't copy away because I think that's when you really had a good movie. You can hit emotionally, have a good message, and be entertaining to adults and the kids, which most movies don't always do.
Yeah, it was a very kiddie. Like it had a lot of kiddie stuff.
Here's my thing. Here's my only beef with that movie is. They screwed up, in my opinion, by including the sloth in the commercial for the movie.
Yeah.
Because to me, the high spot of the whole movie was that sloth
that sloth scene yeah.
It was flipping hilarious.
Yeah, it is funny.
And I just think that it's one of those things that...
But I think that scene is funny if you're an adult.
Right,
like, if you're a kid, you're not going to get it.
I don't know. I thought it was.
Yeah, because I mean, it's if
no,
you
I think you're kidding,
the fox
you're
told
get
the
it.
Joke, the fox yeah. told the joke, and you saw his the.
Well, yeah, the expression, but I'm talking about you know,
kids
like
see and they laugh, like,
yeah. and then yeah. and they're just waiting for him to do yeah. this thing, and then he just goes. Hey, yeah. to tell his friend the same
that
joke.
Was and kids were like that trust
dude,
me.
That
dumb way made $1 billion.
Awesome.
Trust me, they
no,
liked
but
it.
I mean, like I said, it's like the overall structure of the scene. Like if you're
what,
not an adult, you're not going to get
for
it.
For me though, was that I had already seen the joke already, so mm-hmm. it
yeah.
wasn't. It
and that
wasn't,
was a long and that was a long trailer that they showed and all that really long. It was unnecessary, but whatever. You know, that's what they do. And the trailers ruin movies and all that. No question about it.
I know trailers ruin movies, but I think that this is one of those cases where I think people would have gone to see this movie anyway.
I'm not sure because I don't think it was a known property.
Yeah, no one knew about it. There were a lot of skeptic things.
They wasn't sure exactly what it was about. So I guess I get it. Not the best
but
movie
even enough. About the animals going savage, I thought that was a cool thing.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. Yeah.
It was, like, it was a
predator,
different...
The predators going savage.
Yeah, the predators going
yeah,
savage.
That was, I guess
so
was really
that was
well
a cool,
flick.
Also
yeah, yeah.
another
I
idea.
There's no reason.
Like
there's a reason why it did well as well as it did because it's a really well-made animated movie. It's a really, and we keep saying that word. It's a really well-made movie. I know it's animated, but most of these, especially Pixar, they're films. They're movies. Because animated people sometimes don't give them the credit they deserve. Like even when nominated for Oscars and all that, they always kind of toss them in a separate category.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something like Inside Out last year could have easily been nominated in the top movies and I would have been totally fine with it. You know, but again,
it was better than most of the movies that were nominated.
Of course. I absolutely agree. It's better structured, better story. I still don't think they get the respect sometimes that they deserve. Because, and even like WALL-E when it came out, man, that was a click. Even Toy Story 3, put that in best. There's no, we can't tell me that's not one of the top movies of that year, animated or not. There's no question.
I don't care what anybody says. There's still an old school Hollywood that keeps movies like this at
yeah,
bay and
absolutely.
Comedies at bay where yeah. they're very stuffy and they believe that this is what a movie should be.
Yeah.
A movie should be Citizen Kane and that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah, there's that. But I think that...
And these movies are... I'm not saying Citizen Kane, but they are some really well thought out, well written movies, the films again, and they should get the respect. But they don't because it's quote unquote animated. And they have this thing that it's meant for kids. And,
or even
and then not for kids.
Dude.
And then comedy, same way.
Dude.
You comedy, there's some good comedies. But it's really good, a great comedy, though, which I get. You have a really good movie, a comedy. I'm trying to think what one comes to mind, a great comedy that should be nominated. But I guess like things like Good Morning Vietnam. I know you're not a big Ryan Williams fan. I get it. But that was essentially a comedy. I just do. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that great.
But I think with anime, I think you get better films from anime than you do with comedies. And they don't get the respect. And I hate that people say it's anime. Even I'm calling it anime. But they're movies. They just happen to be animated. Who cares?
Right. It's art.
Exactly. And the stories in those movies are just phenomenal and so well done. They do things to you in those movies that real movies just don't get the emotion out of you. Exactly. So kudos to them, and I wish that. I hope that changes down the road.
You bring animals to life. You do all kinds of things.
Exactly.
Yeah. And just to show you, I mean, a lot of people have said they like Jungle Book. To me, it's not.
I liked it a lot.
It's not that great.
I mind it. I thought it was a really good one.
From what we've seen, it's still a good genre that people are putting their time to. I mean, this year alone, in 2016, we've seen already like Zootopia, Finding Dory, the Angry Birds movie. Then you got Sausage Party in August. Yes. The Secret Life of Pets in July.
Yeah,
then you had Kung Fu Panda. And then you got some other, Moana in November. Yeah.
There's one with Sandberg doing one, which looks horrible with the storks. I saw the trailer. It looks so bad. I don't know if you guys seen that. You know, it dropped the other day.
But that movie is
a typical animated movie where it's just geared for kids.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine show. I really don't like him in movies. Him and Sandler, to me, I don't want to classify them in the same thing, but they make really crappy movies.
Well, at least Sandler had his day, though. Adam Sandler.
Those movies weren't good either, dude.
They're funny, though.
Happy Gilmore is funny.
Big Daddy's funny. He's got some good movies. Let's not set him too short. Big Daddy's funny. Come on. The Waterboy is funny. Come on. Yeah. So he's had his moments. I mean, that isn't always hit, but
he hasn't evolved. Like, he stayed
the same. Which is why. Foosball. Come on. It's got the fonts. But that's a funny movie. It's not great, but it's a funny movie.
Hey, Henry Winkler is also on Arrested Development.
Actually, he is too. Yeah. And also in Scream. And the Fonz is always Liz. He's always popping in here and there. You know,
he's actually in one of my favorite movies of all time. So,
which was that?
The Night Shift.
Oh, Night Shift. Yeah, with Michael Keaton. Yeah, good one. Yeah, back in early 80s.
This is still reminding Ed to shut up.
Yeah, that's a funny one. Shelley Long, right? Pre Tuesday. Yeah, she had a moment in the sun. So either way, so we'll move off on that. So you guys out there, if you're biggest animated fans as we are, comment below. What are some of your favorites and all that? We always want to get your feedback either on iTunes or Facebook and all that. And any other topics that you guys want us to discuss, you know, as my friend, she wants us to steer away from it. So I obliged accordingly. We don't mind talking about anything. We're not always into, we love superhero movies and that's what we do, but we talk about a lot of things besides that, for the record. We've done a bunch of stuff. Yeah. But I get it. It is what it is. But hey, we can branch out because we can have a good conversation about any kind of genre. And anime is a big genre.
You know, we were talking about in our pre-production meeting, sometimes the independent movies and movies that are foreign movies.
And we're actually going to have something on independent movies coming up. And George, I'll let you headline that just to kind of gather some in it. Because that's a genre which we barely talk about, and that's a lot of gems in there over the years. And every year comes, every year is always like three or four, more in that independent flicks that blow people away. So that's something we'll definitely focus on. I'll always watch the little movies and stuff. I do my reviews on them as well. I think last year we had a couple, like With Room, for example, just very small movie, which obviously won the Oscar for best actress. Alison Brie, who won best actress and all that. But there's always gems in there. Even Ex Machina was an independent film, which was a great movie. So there's always tons of gems out there. And we'll always do our best to bring this out. It's not always superhero movies. Trust us, believe me. I watch everything because that's what I do.
I mean, maybe that's why we kind of focus on it because it's a summer blockbuster movies and they tend to be the dominant.
Yeah, there's summertime
releases.
It's not that. Exactly. It's a Jurassic World.
Come September, trust me.
Independence Day.
When Oscar season hits, we'll be talking about Oscar movies all day long and watching some of these. And they're great movies.
Of course, we did talk about that.
So we do all that. So either way.
We're talking about Spotlight, which was nobody was talking about that movie.
And that's the only one I saw, which I really good.
We talked about that one. How good it was, moving forward.
But we always have to get your thoughts and all that. But let's change gears. I know we like to talk a little TV on the show as well. So I know I've seen, we're all going to go around. I know I've seen a couple of shows this week, which are really good, starting with Peaky Blinders. I know, Mike, you've seen the prior two seasons, right? Am I wrong in that?
I looked at the first season.
Okay. George, I don't think you've seen that.
No.
Really, really strong show. And this season was fast. I mean, actually, I usually watch two or three shows a week. I saw all one day. I mean, it's only six episodes because BBC usually it's a shorter season for them.
Oh, okay.
So but they are hour and a half episodes.
No, they're an hour. They're not. They're like 40 minutes, 50 minutes, like any other show.
Not like Sherlock or something.
No. They're that straight hour, maybe a little bit less than that.
Or whatever they call them.
I don't know what they call them. Miniseries or whatever they do. But it's only six. Every season's been six episodes. Really, really strong show. This season was great. Cillian Murphy, who we know as Scarecrow in the Batman series and all that, he's fantastic. Tom Hardy, which we all know is great. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. Who was in season two and comes back in season three, and he's really good in the show. Surprising to have a guy that caliber, because he's legit. He's one of the top actors in Hollywood to be in a show like that.
I'm gonna have to pull that one.
Yeah, watch that. It's really strong. And this season, I
saw the first season. I liked it. It didn't hold my attention.
It wasn't that the first is good. Second season is good. I liked it enough, and this season I thought was great. Man, they really hit out of the park.
Tom Hardy is really good.
He's fine. He's always good. And they renewed it for season five and six. So if you guys are looking for a show that's easy to watch, it's only six episodes. You can watch all 18 very, very quickly, and that's all three seasons there. Strong show is one I highly recommend for those who watch it. Mike, well, George, actually, you saw something.
Well, the thing is with me is that, you know, June is always a month for the soccer fans like myself.
Okay.
You know, I mean, yeah, I've been watching Orange is the New Black, whatever, you know, because season four, season, like, yeah. You know, popped up on the 17th.
Did you finish watching it? Or
I saw half. Okay. I saw the first six episodes.
I know. It's not my kind of show. I don't watch it, but I know it's good. I don't watch it because it sucks. I watch it because I just don't like it.
It's a good show. And then they brought new thing into the show with new inmates coming in. You know, like, so there's new, all kinds of new stories and new dynamics and new stuff coming in. You know, some of the characters, how they've been impacted with the new population and how the
spoiler free.
Yeah. And you know, and how the prison has, you know, changed with the new people. But, you know,
so that's a real popular show.
Yeah. And what I was talking about was, you know, with soccer fans, I know, you know, Mike and myself were big soccer fans. So you got the Euro Cup, which it's far superior. You know, then, you know, Copa America. I mean, we're talking about, you know.
But the Copa America has been very interesting. It has.
But even though it has been interesting, you still get like some of the lesser clubs in there that you're like, okay, next. But the Euros have been, you know, I've been watching the Euros. I've been watching the Copa America.
A couple of, like, Peru held their own this year. Panama held their own a little bit this year. I mean, there was some.
And the U.S.
And the U.S. is, which is, you know, the funny
Say
thing
what
is.
You want. They've played very well this year.
They did. But you know what? What kind of upset me was you're trying to grow soccer in this country, right? And then you try to put that within game six of the NBA Finals. I mean, they played the same day.
They didn't schedule that crap, man.
But it was USA Ecuador the same day. As the game six of the NBA
you,
Finals.
I watched the USA Ecuador match.
I did too. I caught the last quarter. I kept my eye on the score. I kept my eye on the score for the, you know, USA. I mean, the finals.
You won't
find
a bigger
next
NBA fan than me back in the 90s and the 80s. I haven't lost interest in the game, but I really don't care for it. I think there's too much fiddling around going on. All the stupid tattoos now that everybody has. Dennis Rodman got a bunch of tattoos to be kind of an individual, and now everybody looks like that. So how are you an individual?
But see, like Stephen Curry's wife, you know, was talking about how the game is fixed. There's a couple in around the circle that they talk about that. You know, how the game has been fixed. And because now game seven, Sunday, Father's Day. I mean, what kind of rating? You know, that's like ratings juggernaut right there waiting to happen. Yeah, game seven, Father's Day.
I saw conspiracy theories.
We're not going to feed into it, but that's what it is. A lot of people were talking about
Say
how it's rigged.
I don't believe that. I think if they would have, if Golden State could have slammed the door on Cleveland, they would have done it.
Yeah.
Is the game fixed? I think in a way it's set up, but it's not fixed.
No.
I think that they set things up to make them happen. They set the table to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the UFC, right? The UFC has Brock Lesnar go there.
Yeah, they went back for UFC 200.
I don't know if you know he's going to be back for UFC 200.
No. Yeah.
But they give him, like, somebody that they think he can beat. They're not going to get – Mark Hunt is actually a pretty accomplished kickboxer. He's
older than
– participated in K1 for a long time. He's a lot older than Brock Lesnar, but Brock Lesnar isn't exactly young either. I think he's in his mid-30s.
Mm-hmm. Late 30s probably.
He's an accomplished wrestler. Mm-hmm. But he's going to have to fight against a guy that's a kickboxer. I mean, I think it's going to be a tough match for him. I think they did it on purpose to kind of, you know, give it to him a little bit.
It's possible.
You know, you have CM Punk there too. He hasn't
fought anyone.
Right? He's undefeated in UFC right now.
Yeah, he's on for the 3-year undefeated streak. Yeah,
go figure.
but. You know, they have him fighting against somebody who's actually a decently heralded fighter.
He's fighting Yeah,
he might be fighting at UFC 200.
Wow,
interesting. Oh, yeah,
finally, because yeah.
So, but all I'm saying is that I think UFC is fixed to a degree too. Not like they say you gotta, you know, you're gonna go down in the second round like the old mafia.
Nah.
But they put you in against guys that they know you're gonna beat, and occasionally it goes south on you. But it's just how it is. And I've lost a lot of interest in UFC. I used to be a big fan, and like when you and I were friends back in the day, I was a huge fan. I had like every UFC on my hard drive. I was watching.
But those days of Gracie and all that.
Yeah, but I think it was a better product, like a superior product.
There wasn't a UFC show in every town every night. Every Friday.
It's not
night.
UFC 200. They had the show, but I mean, it was probably better.
Well, it's once a month now, right?
It's better,
like the UFC
fighters.
Is like once a month. UFC 199, UFC 200.
Shows all during the month. And also, you also have what's the name of the show that's on Spike?
Yeah, on Spike. Yeah, the UFC, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's not UFC. It's another show.
Yeah, it's the Ultimate Fighter.
No, it's not the Ultimate Fighter. It's the name of the show is I can't remember.
Whatever.
It's not important.
Yeah, you better.
But all I'm saying is it's a proliferation of stuff. Basketball, the same thing in a way. You have so many teams in the league that really the quality of basketball suffers.
Yeah, I mean, it's been there for a long time.
Is there 36 teams in the league?
No, 33.
The Ultimate Fighter is the one that they pick one out of. You know,
no, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking
about... It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, it's like Big Brother.
It's irrelevant. Yeah, exactly. It's a reality show at the end of the day. But I think there's like 32 teams in the NBA, but whatever. I mean, I think they set up the schedule to where it ends on Father's Day, which I don't know, whatever it is, what it is. They want to make money, you know.
Yeah.
God bless them. I would do the exact same thing they would be doing, to be honest with you. The point is to make money. Let's just be honest. So I'm fine with it. And I don't want to see LeBron win, but I could care less. If he wins, fine. Fuck him.
Whatever.
If he doesn't win, then we've done perfect. I'll be happy. But my life goes on either way, to be honest with you. I have no horse in the race at the end of the day. So, you know.
I honestly, I'm not watching it. I don't care.
I watched a bit of it. I haven't seen too much of it.
Like I said, you watch it just so that, you know, we can have a discussion.
I'll be watching Jon Snow going for his title this week. So, you know. Right. So forget
that's
that.
That's what I'm watching.
Yeah, Jon Snow versus LeBron. I don't like Jon Snow, but I'll take Jon Snow over that.
That's another show I'm into is Veep.
I heard that's really... I never got into it, but I heard it's really good.
If you're a fan of Arrested Development, it's
yeah, I heard that same genre. Kind of style. Yeah, same kind of vibe and all that tone. So it's really good.
Very funny.
I saw Voltron's. I caught to the new animated one on Netflix, because I was a huge Voltron fan as a kid. I grew up with that.
Disappointing?
No, it's I'm only episode three. I've seen three episodes, and it's good. The animation is really nice. It looks beautiful. It's really well done. It's very anime-esque style as far as the animation is concerned. Some of the humor is geared just for kids, and it's a little annoying, but yeah, it's Voltron. I mean, to use giant robot, it's cool to see on screen. They made some minor changes to the lore, if you will, but it's actually entertaining. It's not bad. If you're a fan of Voltron, you were growing up, you'll probably enjoy this. Not great, but it's cool.
Wasn't my thing.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I think you're probably the older one that came around, because I think we were the right age.
It was
right before G.I. Joe, right before Star Wars. Yeah. It was Star Wars. Yeah. G.I. Joe and Transformers. It was Voltron that came out first, and I love Voltron. You know, the lions and the sword toys are awesome. So it was kind of cool to see. You know, it's a good, very nostalgic and all that. Like I said, it's not badly done. It's just kind of middle of the road, but it's fun. Something different to watch on Netflix and all that. So, last thing I want to touch on, which I forgot to begin the show, because we always, for some reason, this might be a third time we do this, and it's kind of sad. We're talking about the people passing away and all that. And a couple of weeks ago, which we haven't got a chance to touch base, because I was a huge fan, particularly of Muhammad Ali, who passed away a couple of weeks ago and all that. And I loved Ali. He was, if any for wrestling fans, he was a wrestler. Boxer, if you will, because no one talked.
Man. He was his own hype man.
Exactly. Yeah, and no one did it, but no one talked as well as he did. And you see people now. That's what they all inspired Muhammad Ali. He started all the trash talk and the showmanship, which you see now,
really,
particularly in wrestling.
You don't see any of that in boxing.
Not anymore. But you see it more like in wrestling and all that. But you can tell people like The Rock. They all were influenced by Muhammad
totally
Ali. Yeah, there's no question. He was a huge influence and all that. And I loved Ali. I never saw his matches.
You know, they also. You know, I know we didn't. We said we were not going to talk about superheroes or any movies like that, but Muhammad Ali was in a Superman storyline.
Yeah,
he's one of these people, you know, like, because they were saying that there was an alien race invading Earth, and then, you know, they wanted to challenge, like, Earth's greatest champions.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Superman steps up, and so does Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali, you know, who actually collaborated for the comic. Like he said, I want to do all my own writing and all my own lines. He kind of told, you know, Superman, is like, you're not even from here. You're an alien. You know, like, I'm going to come in and, you know, try to. So that they had, the aliens had them both fight. Like, they're like, okay, you fight Superman to see who can represent Earth. And then, obviously, they went to a planet where Superman's powers were not.
How about the million-dollar fight that never happened, speaking of Muhammad Ali, which I've always has been interesting to me, that Teofilo Stevenson, who is, like, one of the greatest boxers in the history of amateur boxing, never had a chance to fight Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always found it very interesting. And I'm surprised they never did a documentary about that. About why, you know, about that cat and why he never really got why Cuba never let him come here and fight.
I did hear about that. I'm not surprised in a documentary because most people haven't heard about it. It will be a great watch, I think.
I think so.
And then,
from his standpoint, Muhammad Ali, there's 1,000 stories about Muhammad Ali. They can do 1,000 documentaries.
No, I know that,
and for good reason, because, you know, he's one of the most, you know, he just transcended his sport more than any other athlete we've ever seen, maybe next to Jordan, maybe more than Jordan.
Yeah, even more, I believe.
Yeah, everybody knew Muhammad Ali. Not everybody agree with his politics or whatever, and people have to think what they do.
Whatever,
and
politics mean nothing.
But they mean nothing. But it's a guy who took a stand, which athletes these days don't dare do. I mean, this guy who really he gave up 2 years of his prime for something he believed in. Whether he thought he was right or not, and that's, everyone has their opinion, entitled to the opinion. But to him, for him to actually do that, that's pretty ballsy. Yeah, that's pretty ballsy.
We even talked about
that. You would never see a LeBron James say, I'm not, and then leave the NBA for 2 years. Or Jordan, who kind of always wavered away from that. He's like, and he said, Republicans make me have money, so he doesn't want, you know, he's like, I'm not going to tarnish my name. Muhammad didn't care. He did what he did. Agree or not, and you have to respect that.
Yeah, when we talked about UFC, we didn't mention that, you know, Kimbo Slice.
I don't care about Kimbo Slice.
He's
not in the same league as mine. I mean, Kimbo Slice,
I know it's not the same league.
And all. Yes, but let's, I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah, but when
we've talked about, you know, David Bowie this year, and
last 12 months. Prince,
yeah, David Bowie,
you've lost a bunch of people.
Oh my god, it's great talent,
legends, even Gordie Howe.
Gordie Howe is another one. Yeah, Gordie Howe.
Like Dusty Rhodes, the American
Dusty Rhodes.
A lot of legends. And
Roddy Piper.
It's been crazy. And I think Muhammad Ali you knew he was in bad shape.
The guy from the Harry Potter movies.
Of course, Hans Gruber.
Oh
my God, I can't forget his name.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
He's phenomenal. He's another great actor. And
lost the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond also.
There's been a lot of folks. It's been a interesting year, and it sucks that
just talking about the 12 months.
No, exactly. Yeah, the straight year and all that. You know,
Alan Rickman, by the way.
Rickman, there you go. Good call. There's been a lot of folks, and it's kind of a shame, man, because we're getting older. A lot of people we've followed are finally dropping, I guess. But I mean,
one of those weird years.
Man, it's been like, and talking about huge, talking about legends. You know, it's weird.
Superstars.
So, my condolences to, you know, any families out there, all that. I mean, like I said, it is part of life. It is what it is.
Back to the Teofilo Stevenson thing, though, just for a second. I think it's very interesting that he was so great and won like a bunch of gold medals for Cuba as a heavyweight boxer. But he never went to go. And they always talk about the fight that never happened. And I think that's something that would be a great documentary if nobody's doing it or nobody has done it so far. That would be like a great name for the documentary would be The Fight That Never Happened.
But either way, that's all. It's the time we have this week and all that. Again, happy belated Father's Day. I do want to say, of course, we've done, we got our Game of Thrones episode recap out already by the time this drops. Guys, check it out. Good conversations about Game of Thrones, what we've seen, what's coming up. Very excited about that. We also put up both parts of our Ladies Night. Something completely different, which we're trying to get together. We finally worked. Got some really good feedback on that particular show. It's not a movie-related show. It's about dating and all that. So it kind of appeals to everybody. I urge you guys to definitely check that out if you haven't done so. It's a two-parter. You guys will be entertained, all that. So it's already out there. You guys can catch that. So I really appreciate any feedback you guys can provide. A really fun show. George, what do you got for us?
Well, I kind of wanted to do a couple of shout-outs, obviously, as I do, you know. With our Twitter, I got some notifications this week, you know, from some people that kind of did like our Ladies Night show and just our podcast in general, you know, so I told them I was going to mention them, you know, there's a couple of people I wanted to send a shout out to. One of them is Chaz Williams from Your Drunk Uncle's podcast. You know, they have a YouTube thing that they were doing with E3, because E3 just happened, you know, like last week, you know, with the, all yes. the video game gaming conference right. that just happened. So they kind of, you know, mentioned us on their show. So yeah, I wanted to send them. Also, Snack Time, you know, SNACK_THYME. They do a podcast on snacks, so they kind of follow us and they kind of recommended it. Yeah, they do a podcast on snacks.
That's actually really brilliant, man.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah,
yeah. Like so they call them Snack Time, and you know, just continue to let, you know, do what it is that we do. You know, if you like it or not, you know, comment on iTunes. You know, give us a review. You know, guys, it doesn't take that long. You know, give us a review. You know, let us know whether you like the show, whether you don't like it. You know, let us know what your feedback is. And, you know, just continue to feel our need, like you say, to go to the movies. And mm-hmm. Mike.
Stealing my line. Go ahead, Mike. Oh, what you got?
Well, I want to wish a happy Father's Day to my dad, Carl Rose.
Obviously.
He's also turning... Wow. Oh, okay. I'm not going to say how old he is. No, his birthday's in November. He's a great guy, a great dad. And I could only hope to be half the dad he is. I want to give a shout out to all my kids. Yeah, I wouldn't be a dad if it wasn't for my kids.
True.
You know, I want to wish well to both Chile and
That kind of reminds me of giving a shout out to my dad.
That's right. Well, why don't you give a shout out to your dad?
Yeah, I was going to give a shout out to my dad. You know, because I know he was watching España yesterday against Turquía. You know, so for my dad, you know, te deseo el mejor día de los padres y muchas gracias por todo. But you know, all that stuff that, you know, for being the way that he was, you know, being the way that he is. And go ahead, Mike. And
I wanted to wish the Chilean team well today against Mexico. Rooting against, always root against Mexico. Probably. I would root against the. Well, I don't want to say that. I'd even root against. I'd root for the Oakland Raiders over Mexico. You know, I want to wish the United States well. I will be rooting for them and against whomever they play.
It's probably Argentina.
Argentina is what I'm thinking too, which is a scary proposition.
Leo Messi.
Considering the amount of players are down. I always give a shout out to my dog Chloe and. I want to give a special Father's Day shout out to my buddy Dennis Baratheon, who is on Pins and Needles about tomorrow night.
Mm, well, we are.
And finally, I just want to give a plug to my business, girlslife.com, GIRLZLYFE.com. And we are here in the girlslife.com studios. And
as always,
we always have a great time, and much thanks to my wife, who has been very patient with me this year.
So. myself, obviously, my father, I love you, of course. I'm not sure if he listens to the show. He's trying to figure out how to work the phone to begin with. So, but in case he hears it, love you. Any phone, flip phone. Oh my God, it's horrible. Obviously, he's the best. I know we all say that about each other's dad. Someone has to be wrong. I don't think it's me. And of course, forget to catch the latest and greatest movie reviews I did put out recently, The Conjuring 2, Warcraft, and Central Intelligence. Of course, I'm getting a little more subscriptions.
I just want to give you some feedback.
Sure.
That was great.
Oh, thank you.
I know I wasn't going to go see Central Intelligence anyway, and your review kind of pushed me.
Yes, yeah, that's good, because I don't want you to waste money on that. Right. Watch it for free, I guess, not bad. But again, I'm getting close to the 100, the century mark on the subscription. So if you guys go on there, subscribe. Any fans of our show in the podcast, jump on and find me on YouTube, yeah, The Real Mentor, and help me get to the 100. And all that. That's my goal for the next couple of months. So either way, that's all the time we got. Thanks again. We'll see you for episode 20. Don't forget, of course, the Ladies Night Special and our GOT review. Have a good one, guys. Mm-hmm.